Hour number three. Good show today. Moving fast. Smooth and easy. It's got to sound good. It feels good. All right, so we start our third hour. I am live in Southern California in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Coming up in 15 minutes, Sean Casey. Man, we had some good dudes on today. I'm not in the business of putting bad guys on, but we've had some really, really good dudes. Sean Casey is one of the best guys ever. He's coming up in 15 minutes. Cam Jordan, an amazing guy. Great, great guy. We had Jordan Cronkright, USF running back on in hour number one. So we're open right now. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so I want to talk to you for a minute about one of my favorite games that my wife and I play. You know, I've mentioned Janet once already. I'm not big on, my wife this, my wife that, my kids this, my kid that. But I think a lot of you listen to the show and know my family. But I will tell you this. One of my favorite games that Janet and I play is she goes to this gym. She goes to the gym. My younger son, Logan, goes to the same gym. Jake used to go to the gym when he played baseball, but he no longer plays baseball. So I let him go to another gym, but not this professional gym. The reason I know about this gym is there is a really renowned trainer in this area named Scott Prohaska. Scott and Amanda Prohaska are amazing trainers, and they work with a number of professional athletes, and they work with amateur athletes, and Janet. So the reason we know about the Prohaskas is because Craig Johnson, who played in the NHL for 10 years, who lived down the street from us, who's an amazing, amazing coach, and is really active, and he's got a number of jobs, had recommended Scott and Amanda Prohaska to us for Jake. So Janet goes. Point of the story. One of my favorite games. Janet will go into the gym. She'll meet somebody, because Janet meets everybody, and she won't know who that athlete is, but she'll say, I met this really nice guy, this really handsome guy, this really outgoing guy, but she doesn't know who it is, and she drops hints, and then I get to guess who it was. Because inevitably, they know something about the show, right? Good, bad, or indifferent. So I get this text. I'm going to read you a text from my wife. A very big, nice-looking guy comes into the gym, and I thought this must be an NFL player. About 15 minutes later, Scott calls me over, and we talk. Scott said that he said something or did something funny once. Did you always play on your show? He was so nice. And said that you need to pull strings and get Jake into Notre Dame because there's nothing like it for a student. So that one was a really easy one to guess. And Janet can't remember because she just isn't great with names all the time. But she thought he was such a nice guy and handsome. I said, that's easy. That is the legend, Troy Nicklaus.
Hey, I like to get hyped for games. When I get hyped, I take my shirt off.
Did a funny thing. I love that. Scott said that he did a funny thing that you use on your show. Funny thing or legendary thing? Funny thing or iconic thing? Funny thing or one of my favorite things ever? So I typed that back really quickly. Troy Nicklaus. And Janet's like, yeah, how did you know? How did I know? Because he's like one of the best guys ever. That's how I knew. Because he did one of the best things ever. That's how I knew. That is so awesome. I love it. So that's one of my favorite games that we play. You never know who she's going to run into in that gym. And if you're thinking to yourself, yeah, hey, Rome, why is she there and why aren't you there? Great question. Scott's been trying to get me to come in for years. Anyway, I got my wife running interference for me. So she thought that Troy was a very nice person. Of course. So that's that. 1-800-636-8686. My man Scott, nice job. Troy, thanks for being cool to the wife. And most of all, Troy, thanks for doing this.
Hey, I like to get hyped for games. When I get hyped, I take my shirt off.
Janet texts me and says, I've got a great story from the gym for you. I said, babe, respectfully, you think that all your stories from the gym are amazing. She goes, I knew you'd say that. She goes, no, really, this one's great. This is a great one. And then I had to respond. I go, that is the best one. a Troy Nicholas sighting. He's a free agent. This email says, I'm really happy about that. I'm very happy about that. He didn't once do something that I liked. He did one of the best things ever. He took his shirt off. And when he takes his shirt off, he gets hyped.
Hey, I like to get hyped for games. Reggie hype. I take my shirt off.
I got to admit, I'm all about Wisconsin. I'm all about the Badgers. But when Troy Nicholas rolls up on the wife and says, oh, no, you got to get your kid into Notre Dame. That's an amazing experience for a kid. And understand, two members of the XR4TI are Domers. Dave Whalen, Notre Dame. Chael, Notre Dame. Hawk, 13th grade dropout. Ross, where'd you go to school? Dude. That's insane. All right. I cannot lie to you. And there's a lot of people, and I fall on this side to a certain extent. Doesn't matter where you go to school, to a certain extent. Obviously, I hired Hawk. He's a dropout. He didn't make it through 13th grade. But I am curious where people go to school. Literally, Ross rolls up in here, and I did not know where he went to school. And homeboy's one of us. UC San Diego. UC, baby. Ross, you just went up in my eyes. That is strong. I'm UC Santa Barbara. Alvy is UC Santa Cruz. And Ross is UC San Diego. I got two words for you, Hawk. Night school. I've got two more words for you, Hawk. DeVry.
There's two for me.
This email says, dear Jim, smoke weed, talk bleep like Lane Kiffin. More like stare blank, talk town planning like Eli Manning.
Smoke weed, talk like Lane Kiffin.
Signed, Mike in Buffalo, ghost writing him. Wore the Carter 5. It's a bad idea for Eli. That whole act for Eli used to work pretty well for him. You know, that kind of sheepish, say something that's not really funny, but it seems funnier than it is because I got rings. Yeah, but you're 37 and you're not nearly what you used to be. You might not have ever been what you were, and your team is terrible. And trying to run any kind of junket, Lil Wayne, is a terrible idea. 1-800-636-8686. Sean Casey's coming up. I'm trying to talk more about the Dallas Cowboys. Should I take a phone call from Josh in Detroit? Why not? And it's not because I don't have better things to do, because I do, Josh. No offense. Believe me, Josh, whatever it is you have to say is not nearly as interesting as what I have to say about the Cowboys. However, we're having a good show. How much damage can you really do? Let's find out. Josh in Detroit. I want to be very careful. I don't want to ask him how he is. He might tell me. Josh, you're on the air. It's live. What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing good, Rome. Thanks for the vine. You know, once I found out that Daniel Cormier was going to fight Derek Lewis in the cage at UFC 230, I thought to myself, there you go, Daniel. That's probably the most easiest fight that you're ever going to have in your career. Did you see Derek Lewis? The guy looked like he was going to have a cardiac arrest on the mat. This guy puts Caleb in Green Bay, makes him look good. And then for Connor saying that he won the war, yeah, okay, Connor, you sure did win the war. Khabib let you walk out of the cage alive. You know what, Tim? This is too much fire on a freaking Wednesday. I better get out and just rack me. It's been a while.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Josh. You're a good dude, but you're one of the worst callers I've ever heard on any show. I mean, just honestly, bro. Your calls are terrible. You're a good dude. You're a good dude. I like you. You know, I'd have a drink with you. I'd hang out with you. But, dude, you're a terrible caller. And the reason you're a terrible caller is because you have terrible takes. But even worse than having terrible takes, you think your takes are fire. But they're not. I mean, if I had to break that thing down, can you imagine if I played that back and I broke that down line by line, take by take? Josh, that would go so badly. But because you're a good dude, I'm not going to do it. I just don't like you walking around thinking you're a good caller when you're not. That did not make this show better, unless you're one of those people who loves flameouts and terrible phone calls, like the JTP. Jungle Twitter Posse. I just handed you to them on a silver platter for the JTP to do what they do. Run to Twitter and find out. If I were you, Josh, I would turn your phone off. Unless you're a glutton for that type of thing and you like it. And you probably do. But see, you wrecked my rhythm, my mojo. I could have gone right into my second take on the Cowboys. But I was having a good day. I felt good. I thought that maybe you'd be better than you are. But I was wrong. I was wrong again. Daniel Cormier is going to fight, actually. And that matchup that you referenced is going to happen. And it's going to happen soon in New York. Derek Lewis. You remember Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis was not having himself a night this past weekend. Things were not going well for Derek Lewis. And then all of a sudden he landed the money shot and got himself a win and seemed almost as shocked by it as anybody else. And when Joe Rogan was talking to him, he started talking about, among other things, his hot junk.
I'm here with the winner, Derek Lewis. Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot.
My balls was hot?
My balls was hot.
I can't wait for this next fight.
Can't wait.
Daniel, oh, speaking of can't wait, oh, this is good. All right, so I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to jinx it, but I mentioned that I would be in New York next week to do a show. My man Bart Scott says he'll come in studio. We haven't seen Bart in a while. I hope that's true. Bart, from me to you. My man, tell me that's true. I would love to have you on the show. I would love to see you, Bart. Can't wait for that. That's next week.
Can't wait.
When we return, Sean Casey joins me. Josh, brother, I tried. Dude, you can't say that I did not try. I can't even say that you didn't try. You did. You're just not good. When we return, Sean Casey, and I'll try again on the back end of that for a phone call or two. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Still ahead. I want to talk about UFC 229. Well, we did that already. UFC 230 I can get into. And I do want to get to my second take on the Cowboys. But first up, Sean Casey. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, Alvy, I know that nobody's allowed to get anywhere near your sound library. Somebody obviously got into your tune library. What's up? You're not about that life. Dude, I know for a fact you're not bumping Zoo. Alvy.
Dude.
Somebody got to him. The mayor will be joining us momentarily. I am efforting him. In the meantime, there's that like that crack in the window. I don't really have time to set up a long-form rant, although I've got a few things I want to get off my chest. But it opens up a brief window for you. I still need an ATP. Have you thought about that, Hawk? You're short-staffed today. We have an ATP coming up. In the meantime, I am no longer efforting. The eagle has landed. I found my guest. We are joined by an MLB network analyst, 12-year Major League vet, 3-time All-Star, president of the board of the Miracle League of the South Hills. You can watch Sean on MLB Network's MLB Tonight, which will air live before and after every league championship series game and World Series game. Lots to cover with Sean Casey. Sean, it's so good to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
Romy, what's up, my man? How you doing, brother?
Sean, I'm great. I am so awesome. How about you? How are things?
Things are great, man. Things are great. Loving the postseason so far, and yeah, it's been awesome.
It is so fun. All right, so first things first. As a former first baseman, Sean, what did you make of Steve Pierce's stretch at first to make sure that he got that final out of last night's Red Sox-Yankees game?
Oh, man, did they need that out. Kimbrel was in trouble, and Nunez made a great play. But, you know, you don't get enough credit over there at first base. Pierce did a great job kind of catching the right corner of the bag, making sure he stretched out, kept his foot on the base. I mean, you know, as a first baseman, it's textbook play, and it was a great play by Pierce.
We're talking to Sean Casey. You know, Sean, the Red Sox, they obviously have a lot of talent. We all know this. But the players after the game were talking so much about the chemistry and how much they love and respect Alex Cora. How valuable is that to have that kind of level of love and respect for your manager? And what's that do to the clubhouse?
You know what, man? AC is one of my good friends, and I played with him in 2008 in Boston. You know, we were on the bench together all the time, and I remember just sitting there with him, and he always saw the game a little different. And I always remember telling him, like, man, I hope you manage one day because, like, you see it differently. But he's also a great guy. Like, he was one of those guys. So I knew when he took over as the manager, he'd be that players-type manager, and the guys would love him. And you know, it's turned out that way. And you can just see it, you know, in the dugout, in the clubhouse with those guys. And I loved the story, you know, last night when he brought in Sale. You know, he said something like, turned to the guys, like, we're bringing him in, fellas, like, into the dugout. And, you know, I think those guys were like, here we go. So, you know, Alex knows how hard the game is, and he understands what it was like to be a starter and a bench player. And those things that he brings to that team are invaluable.
Sean Casey joining us. All right, Sean, you also called your shot. You said that Alex Bregman would homer first in game one of the Cleveland-Houston series. And sure enough, this is what happens. He goes on to hit nearly 600 in that series. He had a couple of home runs. What do you make of how this guy has shown up in the postseason?
You know what? I said last year in the postseason, especially, you know, when he came up with this big hit after big hit in the postseason, like, he's playing for keeps. You know, I mean, Alex Bregman's one of those guys, man. He's coming for you. There's a chip on his shoulder for whatever reason about the game, and I find that the guys that have the most chips on their shoulders usually are the guys that come through in clutch situations. And, you know, Alex Bregman this year just went to another level of, you know, he's a superstar player now. You know, he's a guy that's going to hit 30-plus home runs. He's going to drive in a lot of runs. He's going to come up big for you in the clutch. And, you know, look for him in this next round to, you know, continue to make some noise.
Hey, Sean, go back to that point. Like, the guys with the chips on their shoulders, how does that translate into coming through in the clutch? What do you mean by that?
You know what? You know why it translates, Romy? It translates, you know, it translates because nothing's come easy to these guys. You know, when guys have chips on their shoulders, hey, man, you're too small. You don't do this. You know, you don't run. Whatever it is, whatever the chips were growing up or in college, you know, you're not good enough and all that stuff. And you look at a guy like Alex Bregman, not that big of a dude. You know, there's no doubt a chip on that guy's shoulder. He always talks about, too, like, going number two and not going number one in the draft. I tell my kids all the time, collect the chips. You know, anytime, you know, somebody tells you you're not good enough, somebody tells you that, you know, you didn't make the team or, you know, you're on the bench, like, find a way to work hard, but collect the chips because eventually you'll need them. And Alex Bregman, you know, he's a guy that when the game's on the line, man, he's coming for you.
Man, I love that phrase, collect the chips, because one day you're going to need them. I mean, Sean, my favorite athletes of all time are the guys with the biggest chips on their shoulders, whether it's Bregman, Dustin Pedroia, Steve Smith in the NFL. I love guys like that. But here's what I don't understand. I understand how that chip can get you to the major leagues, get you to the NFL. But once you have success and you've made a ton of money and you've started to stack rings and such, how do these guys maintain that chip? Because I've seen guys keep these chips throughout their entire careers and ride them all the way into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, don't you love that? I totally agree with that, Romy. Like, the guys, because when the guys that have the most chips, I really believe when they get there to the top level, they're always looking over their shoulders because they've been looking over their shoulders their whole life, right? So they're always playing for keeps and they're playing to stay. Even if you're making $20, $25 million a year, it doesn't matter. Like, you still remember where you came from. You still remember how hard it was. You still remember the critics, and that fuels you. It's not the money and all that. The money comes because you play so well. It's the stuff that fuels the guys, the chips on their shoulders. It's just being great and coming at you and dominating until you can't do it anymore.
Collect the chips. Sean Casey joining us. And Sean, you told a story recently where you were on the road in Houston and you had some buddies who would come to town to watch that game. You homered off my man, one of my favorite guys, Jose Lima, and you wanted to share the moment with your buddies. What happened next, and what did the Astros make of that?
Well, you know what? My buddies used to take a trip every year, like four of my best friends from college. And the one year they took it to Houston, and we always joke around who the MVP and the LVP is of the trip. You know, least valuable player, most valuable player.
Right.
So I was joking with my buddies, and I said, listen, if I homer today, I'm taking the MVP of this trip home, you know, no doubt about it. And I end up hitting a changeup off Lima. I think I hit it like in the second deck. I was fired up, you know, and I was rounding third base, and they were the only guys, obviously, in the crowd probably cheering for the Reds and definitely me. And I pointed at them rounding third base, right? And they were like, yeah. I was like, you know, and that was only those guys knew the point. And so the next inning, you know, I get over to first base, and I'm running out to first, right? I got my glove. I'm running out for the next inning. And Jeff Bagwell, who's one of my favorite dudes ever, like really took me under his wing as a young player playing in the same division with him. He gets on the top step. He's like, "Hey, Case." And I'm like, "Yeah, what's up, Baggy?" He's like, "If you ever point at somebody around the third base again, I'm coming out there. I'm going to tackle you myself and take you down."
Wow.
And he was dead serious. And I remember thinking, oh, my gosh. I was like, "Baggy, it'll never happen again, bro." Like, I was trying to tell him. I wanted to tell him, like, "Listen, man, like, my buddies are here, and I'm trying. I was the MVP of the trip, you know?"
Right.
But I couldn't. Yeah,
I was the MVP of the trip.
My head off.
Just imagine, like, Bags and Biz. Bros, you don't get it. I'm the MVP of the trip.
Dude, my college buddies are in town. We had a great time. That home run made me the MVP of the trip. You don't think that's cool?
Great. Sean, what about Lima? Was he in his own planet? God, I love Jose Lima. One of my favorites. Was he taking that all in, or was he too mad at himself? What did he think?
I think he was mad he gave up a homer. I think they had that before. You know, he might have punched me out and did the, you know, Lima time shimmy shake off the mound. You remember Romy when he used to do that?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Punch you out, you know, the slide off the mound and stuff. Lima was a great guy, man. He was a character, and, you know, I used to love his antics back then. His antics now would be no big deal. You know, back then they're like, "Oh man, look what he's doing," you know?
Oh no. I mean, we talked about that over and over again back then. So Sean, where does that leave us? I mean, the celebration brings up something that's been an ongoing discussion in baseball, celebrations. The league released a commercial that seemed to encourage bat flips and celebrations. Are all the players on board with this idea, or do you get the sense that some pitchers still feel like that's showing them up and that's not going to be cool?
Wow, that's a great question, because I really do think that's been the question the last couple of years, especially when you go back a few years ago with the Batista bat flip. I think got the conversation really going. I think pitchers and the guys that are playing in this generation of guys, I think they're more lenient towards that stuff. I think the bat flips, the celebrations, getting caught up in the moment, because you see it more and more often. I think it's more fun with the guys looking at the camera like Bregman does when he comes in the dugout and Jesus Aguilar, with the Brewers. But I still think there's guys that take exception to the flip, to the bat flips, and some of the guys on the mound. You know, I think a John Lester, an old school grinder type pitcher like that's had a lot of success. Like, I would think he would still take to a bat flip or whatever. But listen, I think the younger players in this generation are really growing up, and the celebrations is not that big a deal anymore. And I'm kind of enjoying it.
I'm loving it, Sean. I just wonder, like, ultimately, will these guys age out and fade away? And by the way, who's to say that a pitcher can't stare a guy back into the dugout and celebrate himself?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Hey, listen, if you don't want the bat flip, maybe you could tell him, beat it. You just took 1, 2, 3. We'll see you later. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, it'll all be just – listen, at the end of the day, it's the entertainment industry. And, as long as you're not really, embarrassing somebody or disrespecting somebody and the rules change where it's okay, then why not? I'm kind of enjoying it.
Yeah, right. As long as you don't disrespect the guy or the game, why not? Listen, Sean, before you go, there's no way you come on the program and we don't talk about the Miracle League of the South Hills. The fall season's ongoing, and in fact, Saturday and Sunday is awards day. How has the fall season gone, and what is that awards day experience like for everybody involved, Sean?
Robert, you're the best, man. Thank you. You know what? It's, we have Miracle League of South Hills. You can go to miracleleagueofsouthhills.org and help us out, check us out. We have over 350 kids. It just gets cooler every year. The fall in Pittsburgh is a beautiful time, and these kids come out and they get their medals on the last day. And, you thought you'd give these kids like $5 million. You just thought they all won the lottery. So it's just a really, really cool time. And the fall season's been great for us, and it's just a special place, Romy, and I always am thankful that you do bring it up, because anytime we get awareness, it always helps us either raise money or just help out the kids.
Sean, you and everybody involved are doing such an amazing job. It's such a great, great thing. And if people listening right now would like to support the Miracle League of the South Hills, or they want some more information, once again, where do they go to get it? How can they help out?
Yeah, man, if you go to miracleleaguesouthhills.org, MiracleLeagueSouthHills.org, and there's a lot of different ways to get involved, online. And, what's funny, too, our video last year that we put out, for our big event, I called Bob Costas. I'm like, "All right, Bob, listen. I'm like, I need a minute and a half of your voice, to, the voiceover, our Miracle League of the South Hills video. So it's just funny looking back, how you look back at life. And I never thought, like, you know, you'd have you talking about it. Bob Costas doing the video. It's kind of cool.
Two reasons, Case. It's because it's such an amazing cause and because you are the best dude ever. You can watch Sean on MLB Network's MLB Tonight. It's going to air live before and after every league championship series game and the World Series games as well. Sean, so good to have you back, man. Great to have you on the show.
All right, Romy, man. Great talking, bro. I'll talk to you soon, my man.
Case, you're the best. Sean Casey, I mean, literally the best. Like, as a player, he was the best guy. Post-career, as a broadcaster, still the best guy. Always shows up like that. I mean, for every single interview, every single day, with that kind of energy, that kind of enthusiasm, and that kind of love. Just the best dude. Sean Casey. Great storyteller, too. That is an amazing story. That Jeff Bagwell, he's like, man, that was my mentor. We came up in the same division. He took me under his wing. He got up on the top step and said, Case, if you ever point at anybody ever again after a home run, I will come out there myself and handle that. Baggy, but I'm going to be the MVP of the boys' trip. That is a great story. All right, we're coming right back. Last segment. Josh in Detroit, like, I want to say the guy is so bad, he's almost good. Taking some on Twitter, but getting some love on Twitter also. Pat McAfee is my guest on the Jim Rome podcast. He dropped his documentary. Pat's got a doc called Pat McAfee, Professional Baseball Player. And I watched it. It's really good. It's really good. So he came on last week. We had some time together, but I felt like we needed more time. He's going to give me some more time. He will be our podcast guest on the Jim Rome podcast. I'm going to tape that right after the program. Drop that a little bit later on. Here's your sports update. This one stars Jay Berman.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
All right, Jim, we'll start with football. Already on a week 6 of the NFL regular season. It comes your way, at least the beginning, just over 24 hours from now. Eagles and Giants in the Thursday night are from New York. Eagles are 3-point favorites, and obviously they're dealing with some running back issues. Jay Ajayi is on IR. He's got a torn ACL. Rumors are suggesting the team is reaching out to LeSean McCoy, checking in with the Bills about their former running back. I'll have to wait and see on that. Meanwhile, Corey Clement returns from a 2-game absence with a quad injury. He will play tomorrow night against the Giants. Giants, well, they're dealing with injuries as well. Evan Engram, the tight end, is out. Olivier Vernon is back in. He'll play for the first time this season. The Texans have lost corner Kayvon Webster to IR with a quad injury. Adrian Peterson reportedly getting a second opinion on his sprained shoulder, but he does want to play for Washington this weekend. Meanwhile, with Hurricane Michael bearing down on the Tallahassee area, Florida State not expected to resume football practice until Saturday. Seminoles have a bye this week. They will next play October 20th against Wake Forest at home. I'm Jay Berman.
This is Taz.
And I'm the Moose. We get ready for an NFC East clash. Eagles-Giants Thursday Night Football.
Join us tomorrow morning at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific.
Really quickly, this short email reads, Dear Jim, you have not heard from Chael Jr. because he forgot he could only park on the 4th or 7th floor at the courthouse and he had to go move his car. Signed Perry on Wilshire and Bundy. Wore IRA using scaffolding to play Hollywood Squares. Great, Perry. Speaking of Chael Jr., Keith Arnold did tweet me and Hawk with a jury duty update. He tweeted, potential, and for all of you, I said, I don't think that my bookies got action, but they should, on whether or not Chael Jr. will be at work tomorrow. Based on this tweet, I'm going to say no. He tweets, potential trial of the century here. I swear I just saw Marsha and Ito go in and out. I promise I'll do you guys proud. See you next month. The tweet's one thing. Hawk's reaction to it is entirely another. He may have hit rock bottom with his reaction. He says to me, did you see Chael's tweet? I said, no. I've been doing some other things, Hawk. He said something about Marsha and Ito, whoever they are. I said, Hawk, are you freaking kidding me? Did you just say that? Marsha and Ito, whoever they are. You don't know who Marsha and Ito are, Hawk. Come on. That might be officially rock bottom. I don't even have it in me to school you up on that. Go to your laptop and Google Marsha and Ito. And then tell me how stupid you feel and how much abuse you're sure to take because of it. You don't know Marsha and Ito. You work on this show and you don't know Marsha and Ito. You go to TweetDeck every single day and you don't know who Marsha and Ito are. Anyway, on the ATP. I don't even have the energy to set you straight over that. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Joe in Inglewood asks, what do you think the city of Los Angeles wants more? A Dodgers World Series win, a Lakers NBA title win, or a Rams Super Bowl win? War the Kings, who've already got two Stanley Cups. Fair enough. I'm more of a Ducks guy than I am a Kings guy. For the record, what would they want more? The problem with the Rams, and I love the Rams, and I think they're Super Bowl good this year. I mean, obviously. That's not some kind of like lava take right there. They're good enough to win it all this year. The problem with this town, the town is starting to rally around them again. I've talked about this number of times. You have to win, and you have to win a certain way, and they are winning a certain way. They're doing it all the right way. The Rams are running the Hollywood playbook to perfection. Get stars, load up on those stars, light up the scoreboard, and win it. They're doing everything right. The problem is they went away for two decades, and they went away and they won a Super Bowl for somebody else. So they're not on the short list. When you ask me, what does the city of LA want more? A Rams Super Bowl, a Laker World Championship, or a Dodgers World Series win? I'm going to say it's tough. It's the Lakers or the Dodgers. I'm going to say the Dodgers only because they were knocking on that door. They came so close last year, and it's been three decades. And in the best of times, this is a Dodger town. So I'm going to say it's close. And LeBron would go legend. I mean, LeBron, if LeBron gets the Lakers a championship before he's done, there's your GOAT. You know, you can talk all you want about 23. You can talk all you want about anybody else. If this guy gets the Lakers a championship, there is your GOAT. And I don't care how many times he's lost in the finals. Right now, though, this town is hungry for a Dodger World Series. And they've got to get it done this year. They have to. They just have to. There is your ATP. Hey, Hawk, you know how I sometimes tell listeners and athletes, don't go to your phone, don't go to your laptop? Hawk, don't go to your phone, don't go to your laptop. Even the flight deck can't believe how dumb you are. Dude, how's it going for you right about now?
I haven't looked.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. His response was, I haven't looked.
What?
Sean Casey's getting a lot of love. Rome, Casey is one of the best ever. Love the Lima stories. Believe it. Dan in C-Town. Alvin.
It's Lima time, baby.
Love Jose Lima. Man, he was so fun. Lima won 20 once. Gave me the ball for when he won his 20th game. And all you clones were like, hey, Rome, you're a chump. You are such a joker, Rome. Like, he gave you the ball for his 20th win. Why would he do that, Rome? Why would he do that? He grabbed that thing from a ball bag, moron. I said, I don't know, Lima. I asked him about it, and he said, no, it's the real ball.
I'm excited about you winning 20 this year. I'm going to go ahead and bank that right now. I'm excited to do more talking. I'm excited to put you on the TV show. Yeah.
I'm going
to
give you the ball for you.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay,
I get game ball for win 20.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to hold you to that, man.
That number 20 is yours.
And he did. And he did. And I still have that ball. Hey, Rome, don't confuse Midwest nice with stupid. That chick actually sounded surprised that there was a follow-up question when she said she was traveling. Phil in Missouri. Yes and no. Yes, she did. Yes, she didn't understand that I tried to get her back on track for her phone call, but it doesn't make her stupid. I can't really explain why she didn't get the cue, but I did try to get her back on track for, hey, you called a sports talk show. What's on your mind? What's your take? Ken and SA responding to my story about the drive-through line. Rome, I can't stand waiting at long drive-through lines either. This is why I send my estranged wife to get out and get my burgers. Signed, Ben Affleck. Two things. Number one, I think it was one of their staffers. I don't think Jen got out to get the burger. I think it was one of their staffers. And in defense of Affleck, I did see a picture recently where the guy was yoked. Now, again, I don't know if that's like a Denlesque shop or if Ben dropped some weight, but the last picture I saw of him was him shredded. Brent in PC. Hey, Jim, obviously you have a higher tolerance for incompetence than you used to. Signed, Hawk. Hawk's never heard of Lance Ito or Marcia Clark. I mean, dude, I don't expect you to know everything about everything. I'm not expecting you to hit me with, if I were to say to you, who is the fourth line center of the Rangers? I'm fine with you not knowing that. But, dude, you really should know who Larry Holmes is. You really should know who Marcia Ito or Marcia Clark and Lance Ito are. You should know something about anything. Yeah, but hey, boss, I got a tattoo of my cat. How's that? I got a porn stash. How's that? Dude, did your wife ever watch the show or listen to the show? How many questions do you have to answer when you come home? Go ahead and pick them up real quick. Go ahead and be on the show again, Adam. What kind of conversations does a wife have when she sees you taking the abuse that you take on this show?
Well, yeah, she watches every day because she stays at home. Shout out to my wife for doing that. And, yeah, she questions, you know, how did you get this job? You know, what how good are you at interviewing?
You know what I love about your wife? She's not saying, why don't you push back on Jim? Why do you take that from him? She's saying, hey, by the way, how did you get that job? She's siding with the clones and not her old man, Hawk. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, but she's very honest. She's true to herself. That's why I like her a lot. And, yeah, she does have
you
that
like
question.
Her, no, you know why you like her a lot? Because she's your wife, Hawk.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just said she's true to herself, and that's why I like her a lot.
She tells it like it is, you know, and I appreciate that.
Man, are you dumb, Hawk? All right, anyway, so, like, you come home, and when she watches the show, and now that I know that she watches the show, I feel badly that you take the battering that you do.
You don't need to feel bad. She likes it.
I don't. Yep. Okay. She likes it. Okay, so what's her reaction to it all?
She thinks it's funny, and she thinks that, you know, I'm in over my head a lot at this gig.
She's right.
Yeah, when it comes to sports stuff, but, you know, she trusts me on producing radio. She just knows that I don't know sports that much, and she enjoys watching it get exploited on national television.
All right, so personal appearances are not show fodder, but sometimes, and I'll admit this, I've tried to take down my goat a few times. In fact, lots of times, and Janet always says no. Like, we have a great relationship, and we're 50-50, but she always says no. Like, literally, she will not let me. When the conversation turns to your porn stash at home, how does that go?
She's not a fan of the mustache at all. The mustache. Yeah, when you have a nice mustache like this, you pronounce it like mustache.
Well, I was going to say, what's the difference between a mustache and a, quote, mustache?
Anyone can grow a mustache. I grew a mustache.
Okay.
And, yeah, no, she doesn't like it at all because when you have to get close to someone with a mustache.
All right, that's enough, Hawk. You're done. I don't need any more information. I don't need you letting me know about how you have to get close to somebody and you have a mustache. My own fault. I brought it up. You know, it used to be in life that if I saw somebody with a, quote, mustache, I thought that I saw a celebrity. Like, I wanted their autograph. And then I met Hawk with his porn stash. His porn stash. Stabil, America's number one fuel stabilizer and ethanol treatment, has been trusted and recommended to keep your engines running when you need them the most. Our products may live in your garage, but they help you experience so much more. Ready, willing, Stabil. I told you I had a great show. And did I not? The mayor, Sean Casey. Cam Jordan. Jordan Cronkite. USF running back. My thanks to the XR4 Ti, Hawk and his porn stash. Chael's in the courthouse. I don't know if he's going to be in jury duty or not. Ross is a UC guy. Alvin's a legend. And I'm Jim Rome. I've got Pat McAfee on our podcast later. Look for it.